Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
He also went to Deuteronomy. That scored for the good governor, but when you got a $14.3 trillion debt, it's kind of late for that message to have a strong impact.
Believer, non-believer, no differences. We all said. So that's my number one commitment.
The church that survives is the one that proclaims Jesus, not the pastor, not the megastar, not the latest entertainment craze, but that constantly focuses back on the cross.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
Well, typically on Friday, we would be working up toward Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. But today is not a typical Friday. Today, the church remembers Mary Magdalene, and we'd like to do that in this hour. But on Monday also, the church is going to remember one of the apostles, in fact, the first apostolic martyr and one of Jesus' inner circle, James, the brother of John, James the Apostle. So in the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, we'll remember both Mary Magdalene, significant in her own right, and James the Apostle. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest for the entire second hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. In the meantime, it is typical Friday. That's Issues Etc. comment line, listener email, and then Issues Etc. blog of the week, live this Friday afternoon, the 22nd of July. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, and we will be responding to your voluminous email for the next hour or so. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or if you've got extra time, you can go visit our Facebook fan page, become one of the many fans there, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Before we begin email, Pastor Wilkin, today is the 16th anniversary of Elizabeth Marie Huffman and I went on our first date 16 years ago today.
That would be your wife, right? Okay, good.
Yes.
Just to make sure
Elizabeth
that we're...
Elizabeth Marie Huffman. Now she's Elizabeth Marie Schwarz.
Your first date, just if you could, you've told the story many times, but I never tire of hearing of how you and Beth met.
We actually met at the 1995 Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention. She was doing video producing at, I guess it was the TWA Dome back then. I don't remember what they called it. And I was doing, Don Matz and I were doing the Issues Etc. show live. And Joni Harwell, a good friend, and Jenny Williams, who worked at, still continue to work at our former place of employment, kind of arranged for us to meet, and the rest is history.
So it was a setup? I didn't know that Jenny and Joni actually set you guys up.
Yes, it was a setup.
Was it love at first sight? I mean, well, I could understand why it would be from your end of the from your end of the thing, because, I mean, come on. But from her end, how long did it take for you, months, years, to convince her that she shouldn't just run screaming?
I'm still not sure she's convinced.
After five children.
I'm still not sure she's convinced. But yes, we went out. I was I asked her today. I said, what was I, 2 hours late for our first date? She goes, no, it was more like 2.5 hours late for
what?
Our first date. Yes.
No.
Yes, it was a Saturday, and I was working at the Illinois Prairie State Games basketball, doing PA announcing for basketball for the Illinois Prairie State Games, and it went long. And I was just not thinking. Of course, I called her and told her. But I had no idea how long I'd be there, so I just showed up.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, she should have just dumped me right there.
So where did you guys go?
We went to a restaurant in the Central West End in St. Louis called Bar Italia, and then we went to University City at Fitz's Root Beer.
Oh, so you went up to Del Mar, to the Loop, and
yes,
ate it and had some root beer at Fitz's.
Yes,
Yes.
It's a very nice place, by the way. I mean, it's very – the root beer is great and the burgers are unbelievable. So Craig and I were wondering about this because I've been married now 24 years and I can remember my first date with my wife. I can remember what we did, where we went. This was back in college. But if you asked me to put a date on it, I couldn't tell you winter, I couldn't even tell you winter, spring, summer, or fall. I'd be doing well to guess the year of the first date. How in the world does Jeff Shores remember not only the date, but all the details of
Do you want the honest answer or do you want the feminized?
We're all
answer.
About honesty here at Issues, Etc.
You Google search 1995 LCMS regular convention.
Okay.
And the dates come up.
And the dates come up.
And I knew it was the Saturday after
the convention.
LCMS convention. That's the truth.
There's no romance here whatsoever. Thank you again, our friends at Google. They yet again.
Actually, it was very hard to find. I actually emailed Ken Sherb, who used to be the president of the Missouri Synod, Dr. A.L. Berry's assistant. I couldn't find it for a long time, and I emailed Ken because I knew he'd know the dates of those.
He probably knew the date of your first date, too. I mean, Ken. He probably had it all filed away someplace.
Yes, he actually knew Beth before I knew Beth.
Lots of people knew Beth before you knew Beth. She was a mover and a shaker, and you were just a Johnny-come-lately with the...
Still am. Yeah, still am.
No doubt about it. Some things never change.
So anyway, by the way, and Dr. Just, who's our guest today, informed me that today is his 36th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations to the Just as well.
Yes, exactly.
Good. That's pretty nice of him to give us radio time on his wedding anniversary.
Well, what about his wife to let him do that?
That goes without saying.
Just remember.
Craig is looking on in this conversation with a look of complete bewilderment. It's like we're talking a different language. And Craig's just looking at us like with the look on his face that says very loud and clear to me, all I can see is his eyes above the edge of the window. But his look to me says, you schmoes, you suckers, you losers. That's the look he's given me.
Yeah. And Craig got his bike repaired for the first time in over more than a decade. Just mysteriously, Craig all of a sudden wants to go bike riding. And he won't admit and say that this is a Tory Craig bike ride ordeal going on.
Well, this
here.
Is what I picture in my mind for Craig on his evening bike ride tonight. A straw hat, one of those, you know, like the old time when they used to really go out and date. Think the Music Man when they're out there in the park, courting in the park. He's got a straw hat. He's got his nice striped pants. And then Tori is on the bike next to him, and she's wearing her big, gigantic, maybe carrying a parasol. I don't know how she does that and ride a bike at the same time. That's what I picture. And they're riding through a park over wooden bridges. It's just the way I picture things with the two of them. Very romantic.
You forgot the overalls.
That would be Frankie in the background with the overalls and no shirt.
Craig's brother.
Stand along the side of the road, waving them on.
Shall we get to some emails?
Good luck, you two. You lovebirds? Yes.
Craig has just given us a 5-minute cue to break, so we better get to some email. Paul in Milwaukee writes, perhaps I missed something, but I have not heard a rationale for revenue-producing secular commercials on Issues, etc. For example, sauces, golf courses, water parks. Will there be one? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Paul.
Well, it's a very good question, and I think he raises a question. The question centers, if I'm not mistaken here, Jeff, on kind of secular commercials on Issues, etc. Because Issues, etc. has actually had advertisers, largely with kind of in the pale of the parachurch organizations for a decade at least, especially in our previous incarnation. We had, I don't know how many advertisers or underwriters at one time. So advertising on Issues, etc. has always been a source, not a big source of our revenue, but a source of our revenue. Craig will comment here in just a moment on kind of the overall picture of what advertising brings in for Issues, etc. But we have of late added two advertisers, and what was it? Country Bob's was added a couple months ago.
It
all comes down to the sauce. And they're a legitimate advertiser. In fact, what you hear in the breaks, unless it's us telling you promoting Issues, etc., is largely bought airtime with underwriters or advertisers. That's how radio works. And see, people need to understand this, that Issues, etc. is a radio program. It's often mistaken for church because we deal with matters theological. I'm an ordained minister, but I'm sitting here in my vocation. My expertise obviously comes from 20 years of pastoral ministry and a seminary education and the year set here in study of God's Word and also here at this microphone. But I'm a radio talk show host, and this is a radio show. It's not church. Many listeners do mistake Issues Etc. for church, and so they wonder why secular bump music, or in this case, perhaps, why secular advertisers? Because we're a radio program. Now, Jeff will explain the how many advertisers did we actually have kind of at the peak of Issues Etc. advertising about 5 years ago?
We had, I think, five or six major underwriters or advertisers. We had Concordia University St. Louis Center, Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, Concordia Seminary St. Louis, LCMS War Relief and Human Care, and Concordia Publishing House. And the only one that continues to advertise with us is Concordia Publishing House. So we used to have five major underwriters, and now we have really one major advertiser, and that's Concordia Publishing House. The other ones are very, very minor. I mean, you mentioned that most of the things you heard during the breaks are you know, paid advertisers. That's most of the things we're asking for money.
Well, no, I said, yeah, if it's not us promoting the show, if you're hearing something for a conference coming up, if you're hearing something for Concordia Publishing House or something like that, that is regular old paid for airtime, just like in everyday ordinary radio. It's a radio program. Now, Craig, I mean, in terms of our actual revenue, what does advertising account for?
Well, you look at last year, and advertising like that wound up to be between 2-3% of our budget, so not a lot of money.
All right, so it's a part of what we do. And Jeff, why the Raging Rivers?
Well, the Raging Rivers, I'll explain after the break, as well as the golf course and the other ones too. We'll talk about those on the break.
Sure, we'll get them all explained and answer Paul's question, responding to listener email this Friday afternoon.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Listener email, and then in a little bit, Issues Etc. comment line. After that, we'll pick the Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then Dr. Arthur Just will join us. We'll be talking about Mary Magdalene, remembered this day by the church, and then James the Apostle. He'll be remembered Monday on the church. We'll deal with both of them in the last hour of Issues Etc. Now, I think what occasions Paul's question is really Country Bob Sauce and
Oak Brook Golf Club,
and because he mentioned those, and
Raging Rivers. Okay, so those are the three new ones. Raging Rivers, it is no cash is transferring hands here. Basically, Elizabeth Marie Schwarz would like to take the kids to Raging Rivers Water Park. It's extremely expensive, so it's called a trade deal. So we run commercials, and they gave us like 25 tickets to Raging Rivers. And by the way, the Schwarzes have yet to use those so far.
And this happens, in regular commercial radio, this happens all the time. This is how a lot of advertising gets done.
Yes.
Is by trade.
So that's Raging Rivers. The other two, Country Bob's and Oak Brook Golf Club, I think I mentioned this before, a guy who listens to the show who also has a marketing firm. Those are two of his clients. And he said, I think you got listeners. I think, this would be good to promote, during Issues, etc. So the guy's a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and has a marketing firm. And so we do that. And then what we also do, if people listen on Thursday's Pastor's Roundtable, if I don't forget to give Todd the script like I did yesterday, it's a way to say thanks to our pastors. We get these pastors that get that Oak Brook Golf Club. They get 18 holes of golf in a golf cart for two.
Yeah.
These guys are ecstatic when they get that. And so it's a way to say thanks to our guests as well.
I think that explains it.
I think so, too.
And again, back to the distinction that this is a radio show and not church. It's a theological talk show. We definitely have theology as our substance and as our goal. But the medium in which it is brought to you is radio. So
yeah, and I think the thing that we do have standards here. I mean, there are things that we wouldn't accept advertising revenue from.
Sure. I mean, just in the same way that there are people will call us all the time wanting us to pitch books for them or publishers, and we tell more people no than we do yes. So because we do have standards.
But I mean, what would be a good example of something we'd say no? Like not just books, but I mean, a porn shop, something that was unethical. I mean, somebody's doing, probably Enron. Probably not a good advertiser. I don't know, but I'm just trying to think. Think out loud with me here. We've contemplated here. What if Anheuser-Busch wanted to advertise on this show? Now, we couldn't. Christian radio, nobody would carry us. Internet radio. But I wonder what I'd be curious to see what our listeners think of that. Or a winery. We're close to Herman, Missouri. Stonehill Winery or something like that.
That would be a question, not for me, not so much of, can we do this? That would be a question of how would our listeners react to that?
Right.
That would be the question for me, because I wouldn't have a problem with either of those. But
right. But
I think it would be how would the listeners react to that?
Well, I think that's what Paul's concern is. He's a listener and he's reacting to it about Raging Rivers and Oak Brook and Country Bob's.
Yeah.
And as you explained, we're operating in the left-hand kingdom.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right, this comes from Frank in Clayton, North Carolina. It says, greetings, y'all. That is North Carolina slang for all of you, which might not be part of the vernacular of the Midwest, although the host should be at least remotely familiar with the phrase, as I'm pretty certain he is from my adopted home state of Texas. After listening to last Friday's podcast segment of Blog of the Week, I felt compelled to write in to correct my favorite Christian radio host on a comment that he made during the segment. Pastor Wilkins said the following, and this is a quote, in red ink, mind you, only you and Jesus get red ink, my friend. Well, Pastor Peters has done something what no one else has done in the history of Issues, etc., has ever done. He has gotten both my and Jeff's attention for Blog of the Week. By no coordination whatsoever, Jeff and I both picked separate posts from the same blog from Pastor Larry Peters' Pastoral Meanderings. Frank writes, the problem with that statement is that it simply isn't true. Kelly Klagas, writer extraordinary of Kelly's blog, was the first person to receive the blog pick of the week from both the host and the producer just last year I can't give the exact date as the computer that I have my iTunes library on is waiting for me to return home after a long work-related road trip to be taken in to my local repair shop for hardware-related problems. Pastor Peters may be, in fact, the first member of the ordained cast to receive so great an honor as being picked for Blog of the Week twice in the same week, but Mrs. Clagus was, in fact, the first. I'm sure this was an innocent mistake, but still one that needed correction. Thank you, and keep up the great work. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Frank in Clayton, North Carolina.
And thank you very much for listening in North Carolina. It was an innocent mistake. I am notorious, especially here at Lutheran Public Radio, for my frail and fading memory. I not only don't remember things, I remember things that never occurred. So it's a running joke here with the small staff that we have, Wilkins' memory. I'm lucky to remember my way to work every day. So I do apologize to Kelly Clagus because apparently, even though I have no recollection of the events, apparently she was. Our listeners remember a lot better than we do, which is why we always say smartest listeners in radio. And we thank our listeners in matters great and small for being willing to keep us on our toes.
Speaking of memory, your memory came up this week, didn't it? When Jeff needed a new battery for his MacBook Pro.
I think I remember this.
Yes, yes. Jeff is at an Apple store waiting to buy a battery, and it said $129. Okay, so this battery's made it for, what, 3 years? No? So the day before, Wilkins says, I think I paid $75 for mine. So I'm thinking, this guy's jipping me. Wilkins paid $75 for it.
The problem was not with my memory, which you should have known was faulty. The problem is that you took I said to Craig, I think, I don't know, 3 or 4 times on the phone, I said, this is my memory. I'm guessing this is as good as anyone's guess. This is pretty much a shot in the dark. But you took it very seriously for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, so I'm sitting out at that store and I call Craig and I said, can you look at the receipt? He goes, it's going to take me a while to do that. So he calls you. You then tell the same thing about $75. So I leave the store that day with no battery. Okay, no big deal. I go the next day. They don't open till 10. They don't open till 10. I go yet another day without a battery. But last night, they closed at 6, got out of here early and got the new battery. But you know, $75, $130, it's close. It's ballpark.
Just don't trust my memory in these things. I've learned not to trust my own memory.
Hi, this is Annabelle from Kansas City. A few weeks ago, I heard in your comment line from a caller named Steve. His name was Steve. But anyway, he was talking about moving his child to the front row of the seat during the service. And as a result of that, his child was more involved and actually behaved better as a result. Mike and I tried it the past 3 weeks with our 2-year-old daughter, and it's working very well. And our daughter was very much involved during the service and actually was better behaved. I understand that it's not for all children because some are more active than others, and that's fine. And maybe later our daughter will become restless and we may have to move back to the back row of the church. But for now, it is working great with her, and she enjoys it very much. But anyway, I just want to say thanks to Steve and Issues, etc.
We actually, and this is only my experience, we actually have in the congregation where I serve and attend several families. We have a lot of families with small kids, a disproportionately large number of families with small kids for the size of the congregation that it is. And we have several families with small children of various ages, from say toddlers to even up into ages probably 8 or 9 years old, sitting at or near the front of the church during the church service. And I must say, although kids have to be carried out of church occasionally, that just simply happens, it presents no problem or distraction as far as I can see. And I think it is something worth trying. Not every family's different, and parents may or may not be able to handle it. Kids may or may not be able to handle it, but I think it's something worth trying a Sunday just for the heck of it, instead of automatically with your small kids going into the back row. And this is not a matter of conscience. This is a matter maybe this just might be a matter of prudence. Take them up near the front of the church and sit there. and see what happens. When they can actually see what's going on, when they can perhaps hear a little better what's going on, and you might have happy results like that listener. Now, what's at work here? I don't understand how kids pay attention. I don't understand any of that. I mean, I do think they can see better, they can hear better, and therefore don't feel like they're just sitting behind a wall of pews and adult bodies with something, they don't know what, going on up there in the front of the church. The principle at work here, I think, is probably one that sound where, regardless of where you sit with your kids in church. The principle is that they belong there too. They don't belong in the nursery, unless, of course, they need to be in the nursery for all the reasons that kids sometimes need to go there. They don't belong in kids' church. They don't belong with the babysitter. They belong in church with their parents, with their families. This is, if you want to sit, would you think about making your kids sit in a different room for the evening meal? Would you think about making your kids sit in a different room when grandma and grandpa came over for Thanksgiving or for Christmas? Now, I know that sometimes we have the kids' table. But would you think about doing that? What more important time for the family to actually be together in one place than in the Lord's house on Sunday morning? When we come back, more of your email and something from the Issues Etc. comment line. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Stop to consider that someone is hired to remove and dispose of the bodies of millions of unborn babies at abortion mills. Tens of thousands are late-term babies. A company called Stericycle is making lots of money doing this. They depend upon leased trucks to haul the human carnage. When Penske Truck Leasing found out their trucks were being used for this gruesome purpose, they abruptly ended it. Now Ryder System ended it also, but the kingpin of the truck leasing companies to partner with the abortion industry is Ideal Lease. We need you to contact this company and tell them to get out of the killing business. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for more details. Then share this information with others. You can make a difference and shut this system down.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back. It's Friday, July the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line with Issues Etc. blog of the week coming up here in about 20 minutes. What's next in the email there, Jeffy?
Alan says, your program is always superb. I have two concerns with the show from July 19th, the Lutheran Confessions on the Office of the Papacy with Dr. Martin Nolan. Number one, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website frequently asks questions under the title Other Denominations does not discuss Antichrist. When searching on lcms.org website for Antichrist, nothing is found. Number two, how can the Pope be the Antichrist when he's the most pro-life leader on the planet, even protecting the embryo, truly the least of these? For this reason alone, one could convert to the Roman Catholic Church. Alan, Thanks for the email.
Well, first of all, I can't speak to what is or isn't at the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod's website. There may be stuff there that is a little more difficult to find. I don't know how that works or what the content is there. Nevertheless, what we were working from in our conversation with Dr. Martin Nolan on the Lutheran teachings regarding the papacy was not a statement of any given denomination. It was a statement of the Lutheran confessions themselves. In particular, the Augsburg Confession, the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, and most importantly, the Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope, an entire short document in the midst of the Lutheran confessions, which are binding on Lutherans whether they want them to be or not. So the Lutheran confessions answer the question, even if the website or the frequently asked questions section of a denomination's website doesn't. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. Now, as to the question, it's a very good question. How can the papacy be the Antichrist when the papacy, at least as it has been comprised for all the years where this has been a controversial issue, has ardently, I would say most ardently in all of Christendom, defended the unborn? That's a great question. First of all, let's make the distinction that we tried to make in our conversation with Dr. Nolan. It is not the man himself, not Pope Benedict XVI or Cardinal Ratzinger, as he used to be known. It is not the man himself who is of himself the Antichrist. When he was Cardinal Ratzinger, when he was simply, president of the Congregation for the Faith or something along those lines in Vatican City, he certainly defended anti-Christian doctrines like the anathema against grace alone through faith alone for Christ's sake alone. That's an anti-Christian doctrine, but he didn't occupy the office of the Antichrist. At the time, it was occupied by another ardent defender of the unborn, John Paul II. Well, because it's not the man himself. Is it in fact true that the same church that promulgates anti-Christian teachings, like the condemnation of the central doctrine of Holy Scripture, justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, it is condemned by the Council of Trent. That condemnation has never been withdrawn. If you think it's not condemned there, go read the decrees and canons on the Council of Trent, which was a council that was held, a very long council that was held immediately after the Lutheran Reformation, where they responded to the teachings of the Reformation and roundly condemned almost all of them, including this central one, justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. Go read them, and the condemnation is stark. These things are condemned as heresies. How can it be that the very church that, in essence, in its official teaching, denies the heart of the gospel and thereby, in the office of the papacy, still fits all the biblical description of the Antichrist, be the church, the same church, the same institution that has stood as the Hoover Dam in culture against something like abortion? Well, remember when we had this conversation with Dr. Nolan, he said, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that the same church can defend the unborn and teach anti-Christian doctrine. Now, it's not that big of a mystery. There are the religions that defend the unborn, for which abortion is unthinkable, that deny the divinity of Christ. So it's not that big of a mystery. But just being pro-life does not disqualify the office of the papacy or sweep away all the other ways that it fits the biblical description of the Antichrist. Now, I'd recommend to you, if you want to understand this thoroughly from the Lutheran perspective, simply Google Power and Primacy of the Pope. You will find a document. This is part of the Lutheran confessions that Lutheran congregations and pastors, if they're worth their salt, are sworn to uphold. I'm one of them. And you can read the document for yourself. It takes probably all of 10 minutes. What it has to say, what those Lutheran reformers had to say about the nature of the papacy, their claims against the papacy, and how they make the argument that at the time, and I think it still holds true today, in what is officially taught and promulgated and defended by the papacy, it fits the marks of the Antichrist.
They make a great biblical case. But we don't take away from this pope or any pope the fact that they have been the most ardent champion for the unborn on the planet. We don't take that away from them. But for that reason, he said, for that reason alone would be enough to convert to Catholicism. I would certainly hope someone wouldn't convert to the Roman Church solely because it's the most pro-life church. Is it good that it's a very pro-life church? Absolutely, it's a good thing. But would you trade being a member of a church that is pro-life for one where at the same time you would be required by your conversion to deny the gospel? I don't think it's a trade anyone can make. In fact, and you don't have to make it because you can find churches that affirm the gospel and are pro-life too.
Ken in Winter Park, Florida. This has to do with yesterday's pastor's roundtable on Luke 5. Jesus calls the first disciples. He says, would you explain Peter's reaction to the miracle catch of fish? Jesus hadn't preached the law, and yet Peter admits his own sin and confesses Christ's holiness. What caused this? Thanks for the email, Ken.
Well, now we don't know that Jesus hadn't preached the law, because the beginning of that pericope, again, often left out when this is preached and taught, is Jesus coming out of the house, standing by the sea. The people gather around him on the shore of the sea, and it says, to hear the word of God. He gets into the boat, sets out a little bit, and then teaches the people. Well, whose boat was he in? Peter's. Peter's in the boat with him. So Peter is hearing the word of God preached. So I think it is a very fair conclusion that Peter hears a message of God's condemning law. What kind of law would he have heard? Well, what else did Jesus preach? Sermon on the Mount. You want some law? You really get the law there. And it is that word of law with the realization that the one who has been speaking it has the authority to speak it in himself. That is, that this is divine law coming from a divine person, as evidenced by the great catch of fish, that I think elicits the response that we get from Peter, where he falls at, it says, he falls at Jesus' knees. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He realizes this guy just wasn't delivering a message. He was the source of this message of law against sin and of the comfort of the forgiveness of sins. So I think Peter actually did hear the law.
This is Herman calling July 19th to simply inform you, are you aware that President Harrison of the Missouri Synod has issued a statement that the Missouri Synod is terminating its co-training programs for military chaplaincy with the ELCA in light of the ELCA's stand on homosexuality and the imminent repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You may have your own sources to follow up on that. I thought that might be something you'd want to look into for the program.
That is a great show suggestion. We are aware of that. And I think probably the best way to deal with that is either to get someone on who can speak in terms of the official practice now going forward of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with regard to training its pastors vis-a-vis the training of Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, pastors and chaplains, or probably just the next time we have President Harrison on the air, save that as a question for him, a little cleanup question. Tell us a little bit about a recent statement that you signed. That you issued regarding the termination of joint training of chaplains. Why did you have to do that? And we could get his answer to that question. He's on often enough. I think it's probably a fair way to proceed with that. Thank you very much for the suggestion.
Beth in St. Louis, I'm a few weeks behind, and I'm currently listening to listener email from June 30th, where it turns out Jeff somehow burned his hand that day. For future reference, yellow mustard, like what you would put on a hot dog, works well for burns. It quickly takes the sting out. Keep it on for about 3 or 4 minutes, and your burn should feel a lot better. Now she concludes my show suggestion. The other day I saw a bumper sticker that said something along the lines of Discover Jesus in the Quran. What would this be referring to? Do some Muslim apologists or Muslims in general claim that the Christian Jesus is present in the Quran? If so, in what ways? Thanks so much for listening in St. Louis, and thanks for the email, Beth.
That's a great suggestion. I'm not sure about the mustard. I think mustard's delicious on hot dogs and hamburgers and just about anything else. My wife will tell you that there are very few things in this world that I don't think mustard should be added to. It's one of the greatest things. I had not heard about the cure for burn. Jeff was burned on some steaming ramen noodles, if I remember correctly. And someone was kind enough. I think we thanked our listener who was kind enough to send us a full first aid kit to keep, well, you know, it's going to happen again. The next time Jeff brings his ramen noodles, it's going to happen. So we need something like this. And if we don't, I think we do have some mustard packs back there. They're probably about 5 years old, but, you know, if all you're going to do is put it on a burn to take the sting out, you really shouldn't care about how old it is. And I'll deal with your show suggestion other than that after this. My message in a bottle, yeah. Message in a bottle, yeah. How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to countrybobs.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour. Before the hour is out, Issues Etc. blog of the week. There was a suggestion from that emailer about a show. What was it again, Jeff?
She saw a bumper sticker. It says, see Jesus or read Jesus in the Quran or something like that.
Now, here, again, we're depending on my faulty memory, but I believe that Jesus may, in fact, be mentioned in the Quran. And perhaps that's what it's referring to simply. It is not unusual at all for especially westernized Muslims to make statements like, we heard at Willow Creek, within 2 months of 9/11, the pastors at Willow Creek invited a local Chicago imam in to speak on Sunday morning, a rather ill-advised thing to do. I think they were trying to promote, I don't know, tolerance of Islam or something like that. I don't know what was in their minds. But in the course of that presentation made there at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, near Chicago, the imam who had been invited there said, we worship Jesus more than you do, speaking to what one would assume is a Christian audience. We Muslims worship Jesus more than you do. Now, what do they mean by that? I think what they mean is we give Jesus his proper place as a prophet second only to Muhammad, as a prophet of Allah. They are, in effect, saying, we worship Jesus rightly, you don't. You think he's God. You think he's second person of the Trinity. You think he's the Messiah. We worship him rightly. It's really an audacious claim to make before a whole group of Christians. the fact that it didn't raise an eyebrow, the fact that we actually got audio afterwards of people saying, well, I really liked what the imam had to say, and I didn't know that Muslims worship Jesus just like Christians, tells you how damaging such a statement can be. But probably the best guest to consult there would be Dr. Alvin Schmidt at some time in the future to simply ask the question, get his answer, where in the Quran do we find Jesus, if at all? Is Jesus mentioned in the Quran, and if so, how so? Great suggestion.
Yeah, I think we did a show. If you Google search it, issuesetc.org, go to Listen on Demand and type in there the upper right-hand corner, like Quran, Jesus. We've interviewed either Dr. Adam Francisco or Dr. Alvin Schmidt on that subject, Jesus in the Quran. So if they could find an interview there, I'm sure.
Great.
Eric in Pennsylvania, I'm emailing to find out if there's a particular time that the Thursday edition of the Pastor's Roundtable is downloaded to the website / iTunes. I noticed that Pastor Wilkin normally has it available shortly after the broadcast. The only reason I'm asking is because I am considering organizing a Bible study based on listening to the current week's show. We're in Pennsylvania and an hour ahead, so I was thinking it would be safe to plan around 7 or 8 p.m. I think this would be an excellent way to get my congregation listening to Issues, etc., and even possibly supporting the show. Many congregants have expressed an interest in the show, but not sure how to manipulate the technology. All I have to do is show up with my iPhone and set up a few speakers, and would be glad to do it. Thank you for any feedback you can give me, writes Eric in Pennsylvania.
Well, first of all, that's a great idea. Very happy to help out in that respect. And thank you very much for promoting the program there. I would say, generally speaking, all the audio for the day is posted at the website and at iTunes. They're one and the same event before I walk out the door every day. Now, there are exceptions. If I need to get out the door earlier, sometimes it'll have to wait till later in the evening. But generally speaking, I'm the guy who manages the website, so I can answer the question. That's all done before I walk out the door. I try and get it done by, say, 5:30, no later than 6 o'clock Midwest time. That's Central time. And it's all available there either at the website for clicking or for downloading as a podcast at iTunes. Now, there are times when iTunes takes a little time to update. It may be uploaded to iTunes and take a little while to update. So I can't guarantee iTunes fulfillment there. But I can tell you, probably 9 times out of 10, if not more, it's done by 6 o'clock Central Time, 6 p.m. Central Time on the weekdays. And I strongly encourage you to do that. And if I am able to remember, which is a big if, then on Thursdays I'll make sure to get that particular segment up first just for your convenience. There's another way that people are finding that we've actually provided for our listeners to support Issues, etc., and to do exactly what our emailer hopes to do, promote Issues, etc. You've got a church bulletin board. Almost every church does. We've got a flyer to go on that bulletin board at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support there in the middle of the page. You simply download and print off this 8.5 by 11 flyer for Issues, etc., and put it on Sunday at your church bulletin board, or if you'd rather carry something around with you, wherever you go, we have Issues, etc. business cards that have all the contact information. No need to write it down any longer. Simply download it, print it off, and cut along the lines on suitable stock. You have Issues, etc. business cards. Issuesetc.org. Click support right there in the middle of the page. The Issues, etc. bulletin board flyer and the Issues, etc. business cards.